First up, though, if you're living with a physical disability, you may feel able, capable of arguing and advocating for your needs. And the National Disability Insurance Scheme is, of course, certainly about giving you better control and choices as you do that. But what if you can't communicate easily with others, or you've been born with a severe intellectual disability that separates you from others around you? Where you live, how your days are spent, what food you eat, when you eat it, all those decisions are made for you by someone else who might care very deeply for you, but the very thought that you might have a distinct preference doesn't really ever enter the conversation, such is the extremity of your disability. So in between all that, you sit for hours waiting. Could that picture be different? Could carers approach their work differently with you? Yes, according to an approach developed in the UK and being picked up here. It's called Person-Centred Active Support. A new free online training tool has been developed right here in Australia by La Trobe University's Living with Disability Research Centre, headed up by Professor Chris Bigby, in collaboration with a disability service provider called Greystanes in the beautiful Blue Mountains of New South Wales. And joining me this morning is Chris Bigby. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
And we also have with us Jo Cott, who works with people with intellectual disabilities. She's a practice leader with Greystanes Disability Services. Welcome, Jo.
Good morning, Natasha.
You can welcome me.
Yeah.
Chris, every moment has potential. That's the name of this new training resource. And this is about every moment, isn't it? Every interaction.
Yeah, person-centred active support is about enabling people with severe and profound intellectual disabilities to be engaged in meaningful activities and social interactions for as much of their day as possible. It's about taking every single opportunity of the things that happen during the day at home and out in the community for them to be engaged, and providing just the right amount of support from staff to enable that to happen.
See, perhaps we can paint this picture by illustrating how disengaged people are often who are severely intellectually disabled. And you have a shocking estimate that you use to really bring that home, don't you?
Yeah, we've been doing some research with a number of organisations now for 4 years, and we have evidence that people with very severe and profound intellectual disabilities are engaged for much less time than people with milder disabilities. And we have an average figure, and this is an average, of about 10 minutes in every hour that people are actually engaged in some form of social interaction or activity. And that includes basic things like feeding and dressing. So that's incredibly low. You think about what it would be like if you were engaged for 10 minutes every hour. Most of us are engaged, you know, 99% of our time.
What does that mean is happening in the 50 minutes of every hour?
It means people are disengaged, sitting, doing nothing. And as we know, if you're disengaged, the chances are that you may well then begin to engage in some form of challenging behaviour, just out of boredom or trying to communicate what your needs are.
Yeah, and people put that down to your disability. In fact, it's often about the fact that you are bored to death.
That's right, and being ignored. We also have some figures that suggest that staff, and you've got full-time staff, may only be in contact or providing assistance to somebody with a severe and profound disability for 6 minutes in every hour. So one has to say, what are staff doing for the rest of the time? And often they're doing the daily household tasks, cooking, cleaning, shopping, that actually people with severe and profound disabilities can be supported to do part or all of with the right assistance.
Okay, the right assistance. And this is what active support is about. And it's give us a sense then with some examples of how radical a shift this is, moment to moment.
Well, it's a radical shift in terms of saying, well, if we're going to make a smoothie, for instance, then there's a whole range of tasks involved in that. We need to think about breaking them up, getting the food out of the fridge. Can somebody be supported to do that? Beginning to cut things up. Can somebody do that with, even if it takes hand-over-hand assistance to cut up a strawberry or a piece of fruit. Can the person be supported to pour some milk into a liquidiser? Can we adapt the liquidiser with a large button so that the person can actually press that and make it start? Mm. I mean, there's all those things involved in a very simple task. It's so much easier and quicker for the staff to do it. But with some thought and some good training and leadership from an organisation that you work for, you can actually break those things up and people can be involved in it. There's no hurry. It doesn't matter if it takes 5 minutes or half an hour.
Well, it might, and people might have resistance then to the extra time that this might involve.
I think you have to say, what's the role of staff? Is it to get through the day tasks and then sit down and have a rest? Or is it to engage people all day, every day in their lives? In which case, you have got as long as it takes.
Yeah, and there's a great video, and I watched some of the videos part of this training offering, Every Moment Has Potential, where two women with severe intellectual and physical disabilities are sitting at a kitchen table. They wouldn't ordinarily use a knife, you can imagine, but the carer in that video is putting the knife in their twisted hand and helping them chop up bananas and strawberries, and there's a whole interaction going on about that, and so it's just a great example. I thought a sharp knife, and all it is about is working with someone to use it.
There's another example too of enabling somebody to exercise choice, providing people, somebody with a range of flip cards which have pictures of the different types of drinks at the cafe. So rather than the staff member saying, oh, Joe always has a drink of coffee, it's about showing, enabling the person to look at those cards every time they go and pointing and deciding, well, which drink they want today.
Yeah. Let me come to Joe Cott. How different, Joe, is this approach to what carers and disability support workers like yourself might have done in the past, or might in fact still be doing in many facilities?
Oh, well, it's been very different, Natasha. It's been a big change here at Greystanes. I've seen the people that I support who were previously disengaged, sitting around and waiting, now being engaged in activities that staff would have normally have done, like washing the dishes or cooking. And now we're seeing a lot less of disengagement and more empowerment and more engagement with the people that we support.
Well, let's take cooking for an example, and perhaps describing a person's disability and how you would now work with someone to involve them in the cooking of a meal.
Well, we start right at the beginning, Natasha, from even making the choice about perhaps what they would like to have for dinner or what they would like to have for breakfast. So starting at the very beginning, giving that person choice and control in their life to actually choose what they would like to have to eat. And then working from there, we look at what bits can the person that I'm supporting do. Instead of looking at it as a disability, we're looking at what abilities the people that we support have and integrating that into everyday activities like cooking.
Now, you're making it sound easy, but right at that beginning interaction of choice, you might have a flip book full of pictures of meals, for example, but communication is a challenge, and many of the people that you would be working with are totally non-verbal.
That's
correct. What sort of communication cues do you start to really understand and interpret together?
Well, it's about looking at, how the people we support do communicate, whether if someone's nonverbal, for example, we might use the flip cards that you've just mentioned. So we call those compics, or it might be using a concrete object. So actually taking, making a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, for instance, making that choice, you know, would you like tea or coffee, and actually using the tea bag and the coffee to allow that person to make a choice. It might be showing them a picture of pasta or a picture of risotto, you know, which one would you like for dinner tonight? And looking for a positive communication from that person, whether it's through eye contact and physical expression. Is that person smiling or particularly looking at the pasta? You know, so I do find it is actually easy if we break it down into those small steps, Natasha.
Has there been resistance? Because some people would say, well, this is time consuming, it's just much quicker for me to make the meal and serve it up.
Yeah, initially at the beginning there was, because I think it was hard for staff to understand, and they were thinking about time constraints, Natasha. But when we flip it around and we actually involve the guys and create a situation where they're involved in those activities, I actually find that there's not less time and there's less issues with people being disengaged and less behaviour issues as well.
Mm. How has it changed the sense of your sense of your work, the relationships that you have with people that you're supporting day to day?
Well, I've seen people who initially have not been really engaged and not been really happy, seemed very disengaged, actually become engaged in their life. I've seen them become a lot happier. I've seen less behaviour issues, and they're changed. Like, people are changing with this. Yeah.
Yes, you know, it's that nothing about us without us, which became the mantra of the disability rights movement, and this is really it in action. Professor Chris Bigby, there at the Living with Disability Research Centre at La Trobe University, as a researcher, you're interested in good evidence for everything that gets done in this sector. So what's the evidence that the subjective experience, the quality of life of people who are part of this new whole paradigm, if you like, this active support, what's your measure that it's improved, that these things have improved?
There's a huge body of evidence from the UK that's developed over the last two decades that shows if staff use active support consistently, then the quality of life of people increases, their level of engagement increases, they have less challenging behaviour, they exercise more choice and control, and as a side product too, they also develop skills, although that's not the central aim. The central aim is engagement. And the way we measure that, it's very hard to ask somebody with severe and profound disability, are you having a good day? And if you ask staff, they will often overestimate what's happening. So we go and observe people for 2 hours. And on every minute of that 2 hours, we look at what's happening to each individual person. Are they engaged? What's happening for them? What are the staff doing in relation to them? What type of language is being used? What's the sort of sense of respect that's being conveyed? And we use that to our momentary time sampling measure to give us a measure of engagement, of staff contact and of active support.
And you want it to be genuine, don't you? You want it to be a genuine interaction, a genuine choice rather than a sort of patronising, you know, well, we'll give you half a choice. You know, those exchanges
That's
between
right.
carers and the people that they're supporting is often very interesting to witness as a third party.
We have trained observers who can really identify the quality of support that's happening. And it really is only by going and looking that you can get a real sense of somebody's quality of life and the quality of support that staff are providing. And that's central for people with severe and profound disabilities who can't tell you themselves what's happening to them.
You go as far as to say that the National Disability Insurance Scheme will fail for those with severe intellectual disabilities if a process like this is not adopted, and it is being adopted in some organisations across four states. But that's a strong statement from you.
If we're going to enable people with severe and profound intellectual disabilities to exercise choice and control, then it's what happens in their everyday lives and the quality of interaction and support that they get from staff that will enable that to happen. Other people will exercise choice and control about the type of services that they use, and the big picture things like where they live. But for those people and their well-being, it's what happens on a day-to-day that we have to pay attention to. So my suggestion is that all organisations that are funded to provide support need to demonstrate that their staff are enabling people to be engaged and are actually carrying out active support.
Just briefly and finally, this has been rolled out with support from the Federal Department of Industry, I gather, particularly as a training tool for disability carers and workers with low literacy, low levels of English. That's an acknowledgement that many of the people working in this sector are those people, are people with low literacy or English as a second language. Why target that group so particularly with this project?
I think one of the important things is some of the organisations in our study have adopted active support for quite a long time now. Some have been going for 10 years, but it's been shown that it's very hard to embed it within an organisation, and to be able to adapt the training and the practice leadership to quite untrained staff who often don't have high levels of literacy. Mm. So the aim of this resource is really to break it down into its component parts and to illustrate with some really good video footage in our Australian context how to do this practice and what it means. People often don't have a sense in their mind of what they're being asked to do. And these new resources actually enable people, even if they've got low literacy, to see examples of what's expected.
Yeah, and the videos are fantastic, actually. So congratulations to you both for making this whole project work and happen. Professor Chris Bigby, Director of La Trobe's Living with Disability Research Centre, at La Trobe University, that is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks, Jo Cott, Practice Leader with Greystanes Disability Services in the beautiful Blue Mountains, for sharing some of your experience of rolling this out.
Oh, thank you, Natasha.
And I know you've been training others to do the same. So that is the Every Moment Has Potential. It's a new free online training tool for people working with those with severe intellectual disabilities. It's a whole paradigm shift. And it sounds so intuitive, doesn't it? It takes us a long time to sort these things out. Natasha Mitchell with you this morning on Life Matters. Great to have your company today here on ABC RN.